Okay, we're on Daf Payoff tonight, so I'll begin around Payoff on the Aleph. That's page 161. I'll begin about 6 lines from the top. So the Mishnah says, "Ochel v'shoteh mitzarfim." A person eats and drinks. We learned there were different shiurim. Eating, we know, is the size of kotevet agasa, the fat date. Drinking, we know, is molod logvav, right? Fern's got it. So, but if I eat and drink, the two are not mitzaref for one shiur or another shiur. So man tana. So who, which tana is our Mishnah follow? So Amar Rav Chisda b'machlokas Shmuel b'Rav Shuihi. So Rav Chisda says that it's really subject to machlokas Tanaim, and our Mishnah follows the sheet of the Tana of Rav Yeshua. Three lines over, it gets right on payoff on the Aleph. We learn the Mishnah Masech and the Ila. Now Mishnah doesn't really record that there's machlokas. The Mishnah only records the opinion of Rav Yeshua, but Rav Chisda's mechadesh that there is a machlokas here. He assumes since it mentions Rav Yeshua, the some more mechulik with the following bit. Vidan klal Amar Rav Yeshua. If we're talking about DNA Tuma and Tara, not about eating on Yom Kippur, but we're going to connect to that. If Tuma and the Shear are the same, so Tuma means different items give Tuma for different periods. A piece of a body, it causes Tuma for 7 days. A Nevela causes Tuma for 1 day. And so both of those have a Shear of a Kazayas. Then a Sheret, that Sheret feature, it's also 1 day, but the Shear is a Kadashah, like the size of a lentil. The Talmud says, "Koshtu if you were shabbat, if it's the same level of tumah and the same shear." So let's say I have two chatzay zaitim from two different dead bodies, or I have two chatzay zaitim from two dead nevelot. They're mitzvah. If they join together to form the whole shear, which is one kizayit, tumah tov below shiro. But if the tumah is the same level, but not the shear. For example, I have a piece of a nevela, and I have a piece of a dead sheret.
Right,
but the tumah is the same. They're both metamei for 1 day, but the shear is different. One is kazayas, one is kadashah. Or shiro below tumato. If the shear is the same, but not the same level of tumah, that would be like a nevela and a dead body. They're both the shear kazayas. The dead body is tumah for 7 days, and nevela for 1 day. Low tumah tov, low shiro. The tumah and the shear are not the same, like a sheret and a dead body. In all those cases, it's not mitzaref. The only place where it's mitzaref is when the tumah and the shear are the same. So we think that our Mishnah follows Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua says if everything doesn't match up, then it can't be mitzaref. So here too, we think the Tan Rabbi Yeshua would say since it's a different shear for the food and different shear for mashkims and not. But Tariq, so then the army Mishnah follows Rabbi Yeshua. Now, in the first wide line, but the Chachamim hold, presumably that's the way Rav Chisda understands it, that everything is Mitzarev. So our mission is not like the Chachamim. Rav Nachman Amar, Afilutim Rabbanim. Rav Nachman said, you can even say that our mission would follow the Shita Chachamim. The Chachamim hold by Tuma, everything would be Mitzarev, but Ad Kamuk Rabbanim Hatam, it would be Tuma, Shem Tuma Chadi. As over there, it's Tamei. So fine, everything is with Tamei. If this is Tamei, that's Tamei, the other thing is Tamei.
About Hacha, you see, to be Daitahu.
Here, the key issue is, does it give me Yishuv Das? Does it make me quiet down my hunger pains?
He says, V'hai, lo miyata daite.
So Chazal teaches us, if a person, he's got half a shear with food and half a shear of drinking, he's not going to have Yishuv Das. So it doesn't do anything.
So, Mamela, even though we can say that our Mishnah follows even the Sheet of the Chamim, even the Chamim who hold, over there, they could agree over here not. But Reish Lakish also says similar to Rav Chisda that it's up to Machlokes Tanaim. Our Mishnah follows Rabbi Yeshua. The Dan Kalam or Rishu Bakulay
doesn't go through the whole thing, but it's the same as before.
But Yochanan Amar, it's Machlokes Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan Amar puts in Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan says
could even be that it follows Shita Lechachamim.
Adkan from Rabbanan Hatam El Inyan Tuma.
I'm only saying that it's mitzaref when it's just tumah, everything is tumah.
But how can you show me to be daito? Here work with Yishuv Das, v'hai lo kamiyata daito.
The person who eats half the shear with food and half the shear with drink, so there's no Yishuv Das with him. All right, any questions?
Liquid and solid combined for Yishuv Das?
No, that's the point. I don't think there is much located in Mitzias. In other words, everybody agrees it does not combine for Yishuv Das. Everybody agrees in that. So, well, that's what the Chachamim evaluated. I don't know what to tell you.
Is this an experiment?
I don't know. This, I don't know. This, I don't know what to say. I assume they had a Masorah this way. I don't know what to tell you. All right. The
Yeah, the only thing I was a little bit bothered with, though, is let's assume, let's say by Tuma, that it is mitzvah. In other words, I'll have different levels of Tuma. So what is the shear? Let's say I have half a kezias of a mace and half a kezias of an avela. So if I assume that they're mitzvah, so now which level of Tuma would it be? Or let's say it's different levels of shiurim. Let's say it's part of shiur b'sheretz, and half a piece of a shear from a novella. I assume it would be the one that's the majority one, but I don't know what to say with this. Okay, I'm going to go further unless anybody has any questions, comments, thoughts. Okay, let's go further. Now, we're up to the Mishnah on the sixth very wide line and pay off on Manal. 81A, the sixth very wide line. Manita, my father should have on the side and okay, I will cut out a if a person ate and drank in one halam, meaning one act of forgetfulness, meaning he forgot to say it was Yom Kippur, or he forgot that eating and drinking is prohibited on Yom Kippur. And so he ate the shear while in the state of forgetfulness, and he drank in that state of forgetfulness. He did both. He says, "Ain't okay of a chatat achad." He's only chayv one chata because one aveira says, "Vini temenav shel tichem kilo nefesh shelu tunem." He says, "Achal ve'asam malacha peyf shechato." But if he ate and he did malacha, he's chayv two chatot because those are two separate lavim. One is you can't do malacha on Yom Kippur. And then the other is you can't eat on Yom Kippur. If you eat food that's not ruit achila, not something that you would normally eat, in other words, it's not edible, I should say, and he drank things that your person wouldn't drink. For example, the way the article said this is an example, seer or more ice. Like, let's say he drank, seer is the fish brine, or more ice is the fish fat that dissolved, he's patur. Those are used as a dip. And they're not used as a food by themselves. But if he did that, so here the Talmud of Mishnah says he's patur. Okay? Any questions, comments, thoughts, what we did in the Mishnah? That's good. All right, let's see the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amar Fakish, Mima Lo Nimraz, Hara Be'inui. Now, the Gemara is going to have all the richas to say, we know that in Onshin Lo Kin Mazkirin, in Torah, they don't punish you unless you have an Azhara for it, both on the general sense and in the individual sense. In Onshin Lo Kin Mazkirin. So by Yom Kippur, it says don't do malacha, and if you whoever does malacha, I'm going to destroy it. We learned already that means kare, that we got. But by the inui, so it says kichol nefesh shelo tuneb, it's by zamin debichrata. If you're not ma'ane, but it doesn't say there's no lav in the Torah. Don't eat. There's no lav. Don't eat. So the Gemara is going to hunt. Where is the lav? Where does it say don't eat? Where is the lav for that? Yeah, it's Hara. So Gemara says we're on the eighth very wide line on Pale from Manala. Ruth just came in, okay? So the Gemara says, Amar Ish Lakish, Mlima Lo Nemra Azhara Be'inui. Why does there no Azhar? Why doesn't the Torah say, don't eat or whatever, don't? So the Gemara says, Mishpim Tol Efshar, there's no way to frame it. Taking Nifta, what should the Torah write? Nifta for Manala Yochal, if the Torah would say, don't eat, Achila B'Kazayit. So we know that when it says achila, it refers to kezayit, but here the shir for Yom Kippur is kotevet. So the Torah couldn't say don't eat because then we would default over to kezayit. So the shir is a kotevet. If the Torah said lo tu'uneh, which sounds like don't afflict yourself, that sounds like you should eat, not that you shouldn't eat. He says makif lo ravoshi. It's ravoshi asks from kashanis. Nichtav rachmana he shamer pen lo tu'uneh. Why can't the Torah write, be careful lest you don't afflict yourself? So the Gemara says, imkein afishin hulave. That would work in terms of meaning, but when I have Hishamer and Pen, that would introduce two lavim. We're interested in one lav, where the Torah is interested in one lav, not to impose two lavim. And again, the nachmin would be if they give you hasra for malkot. So I have Hichai malkot, but if it's two lavim, I have two sets of malkot, but that's not what the Torah wants. He says, makif lav bibi barbaye, nichtav rachmana, hishaber mitzvah inui. Okay. Michael says three. Yishamer pen and low. Okay. He says, then Rabbi Barbai says, Nitzav Rachman, Yishamer mitzvat inui. So Rabbi Barbai says, the Torah could write, Yishamer the mitzvat inui. Whenever it says Yishamer, that means like it's lav. So he says, Im Kain, Yishamer the lav, Yishamer the S-A-S-A. Then we would invoke the klal that Yishamer is an interesting term. It can mean a lav or it can mean an essay, depending on the context. So Yishamer the lav lav. If Yishamer is the lav, then it's a lav. You're right. That's what we're looking for. But Yishamer the essay essay. So if I say Yishamer b'mitzvah inui, that would come out in an essay because it's v'nitem nafshotecha. So he says here, why can't the Torah say al tasur min inui, like don't deviate away from the inui? So the Gemara leaves that as a kasha. Kasha means that's a question, but there's an answer to it. But that's hanging. That part's hanging. All right. So the Gemara didn't come to a clear conclusion on where we learn the lav by inui yet, but we're on the hunt for it. Any questions, comments, to us, anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay. Okay.
Okay,
I
thought you left. You let Ruth in.
Yeah, I thought she. I did let her in. I don't see her. I don't know where she is. Maybe it was Malka. I don't know. All right. Let's see further. I thought I saw. I thought I saw Ruth's thing coming up. Let me see. Oh. Okay. Sorry. Here she is. I thought I let her in. Okay. Now she should be here. Ruth, I'm sorry. You there, Ruth? All right, she'll come back later. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "V'tana ma'ayti lami hafa." The Tana, we learn a brisa. It's a long brisa, so you have to be patient with this brisa. But the brisa will address where we know the lav against the eating. V'tana ma'ayti lami hafa. Now, I have to give an introduction to brisa. The beginning of the brisa, which is not quoted here, talks about how we know the din of Tosefet Yom Kippurim. There's a mitzvah to be mostly in Kol Kodesh. So the brisa brings two proofs for Tosefet Yom Kippurim. One, which we're going to have on other days, you know, on the ninth of the month, it's the tenth of the month, and that's one. And the other one is that by Shemitah, it says by Shemitah, there's a limud by Shemitah that the Shemitah year begins before the actual Shemitah year, but we're all able to carry it over to this. So the Gemara says, so in the Torah, it says, v'nitem nafshotechem, you deflect yourselves and don't do malacha. I might have thought, or anosh kari is where the Bach has it. I might have thought you have kari for Tosefet malacha. In other words, once I'm adding time to Yom Kippur, let's just say, for example, let's say Yom Kippur begins at 6, but I begin Yom Kippur at 5 o'clock to be adding on Mechol HaKodesh. I might have thought that on Chai kari, if I do malacha in that period of time, between 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock, he says, whoever does malacha, but etzem, in the essence of this day, you're only chayav kari if you do malacha on the day itself, not in the Tosefet zone. And we're still not where we're looking for, where we have to be patient. I might think that there's no chayav kari for doing malacha in the Tosefet, but there is a chayav kari for, let's say, eating in the Tosefet. Again, a similar phrase by eating. It says, whoever doesn't afflict themselves, but etzem ayam is the nechrata, or he's emotionally yom amishkari, they don't know ishkari, I'll test that in malacha. So I might have thought that, okay, so you're not going to have karet for doing malacha, but you're subject to a lav doraisa for doing malacha during that period of time. So it says, don't do malacha be'etzem ayom hazeh. So that's it. I might think that you're violating the law from the Torah if you eat during Tosefet Yom Kippurim. And then here the Gemara says, within whom, it's logical. He says that that's not the case. He's making like a sushta between malacha and inui. Malacha is something that applies to Shabbos and Yantim, not just Yom Kippur. I can't do malacha on Shabbos, I can't do malacha on Yantim, and I can't do malacha on Yom Kippur. It's all over the place. But I'm not admonished not to do malacha on the Tosefet. He says, so certainly the inui that doesn't apply to Shabbos and Yantim, it's much more limited in scope. So also, I should not be admonished with it. Okay, so Adkan, we've established that there's no karet and there's no lavim that click in during the period of Tosefet, or for malacha, or for inui. So the Gemara says, now here's the part that we need, the first wide line downstairs, about azhar inui shayom atzmo lod mamani. But we didn't see where is the azhar for inui on the day of Yom Kippur, and as we discussed already, there is no specific lav, then we have, that's what we're hunting for. So minayin, where is it? So the Gemara now wants to say, now this is the Brice though. The Brice says, lo yamar onesh b'malacha, the gamar mi'inui. The Torah didn't have to say chiv kare by malacha. Now again, by malacha, it doesn't say nifrato, it says vavatir nev shikim kerama, but chazal understand that means kare. We discussed this already. So that's unnecessary to say the chiv kare by doing malacha and kippur, because I can learn it out from inui. How so? Anyway, that doesn't apply in Shabbos and Yantav. That's Chi of Karei. Malacha, Shalheke, so certainly Malacha, which is all over the place, certainly that should be a Chi of Karei. He says, Lama Ne'amar, so why does the Torah teach me that I'm Chi of Karei for the Malacha? So, it's like superfluous phrase so that I should learn Gzeir Shava from Malacha. He says, Ne'amar Onesh B'inui, Ne'amar Onesh B'malacha. Is it the Torah tells me the onish by malacha, tells me the onish by inui. Ma malacha lo anash from the king is here. It's like by malacha, I know it's a punishment, but it's associated with a lav, don't do malacha. Av inui lo anash from the king is here. So too, I can extrapolate through this gzeir shava that there's a lav to eat on Yom Kippur. Okay, that's the end of the braisa. Okay, everybody good so far? Okay. He's here. In other words, here the Gemara is using his here is the warning, the law, but here the Gemara is using it in the sense that the onus is associated with an azhara. In other words, by
it's not referring to you read that you're going to get
it's not exactly it's borrowing a term, it's a general term shas in onus here, and then that applies to the individual, it applies on a global well.
Right.
But here the way the Gemara is using it, that there's an onus together with an azhara by malacha. So I have the gzeir shava to inui, so I can pull out a lav for inui from there as well. Okay? So
what did the whole business with the tosepet? Why is
tosefet
that?
You don't need that. Red herring. Okay?
Oh, okay.
So leave out tosepet. Just focus. Okay? Okay?
Okay.
Now, all right. Now, on the fifth wide line, we can ask Akasha. Now, this is not the Brisa. That's the end of the Brisa. Now, the Gemara is speaking. So the Gemara says, I can ask Akasha against this Gzereshava. And you know the way it works with Gzereshava, you can ask Kashas against it, but if it's superfluous, then it could be immune, but there's Makloket, whether it has to be Mufta from one side or Mufta from both stadium. So Ikalamifrach, Mala Inui, Shalhutar Mikvalo. Now, the only thing is here, this kasha, let me go back. I misspoke a minute ago. You can ask kashas against Gzeir Shava, but here the kasha is against the, just that the phrase was superfluous. In other words, this was based on the linchpin of our limud, was that it was not necessary for the Torah to teach me the onesh by malacha. In other words, it didn't have to teach me that there's a chiv karet by malacha. Because if I know there's a chiv karet by inui, then I know there's a chiyuv kare by malacha, which applies to every Shabbos, Yom Tov, and so forth. So we figure it's a greater chumra, so it doesn't have to write it. So now the Gemara is asking Kasha against that. You're assuming that that he says inui, there's no exceptions to inui. In other words, everyone has to do it. But by malacha, there are exceptions. Let's say the abode and the base of Mikdash can go on, even though the malacha are. So let's go back for a minute. Right. Right. So the idea was, we thought malacha is much more chamor. We thought malacha, we thought, is more chamor than inui. But the Gemara is saying, in a way, it's more chamor because it's on Shabbos and Yom Tov as well as on Kippur. But in a way, it's less chamor because there are exceptions to it, right? So it's not chamor. So I can't learn. So it doesn't work out that well that there's not necessary to write the word, you know, v'havadati nefshehi by malacha. Ella. So the Gemara tries a different tack. El lo yomar. The Gemara is trying to understand the brisa. El lo yomar onish b'inui. Let's do it the other way around. That it was unnecessary. Now that you tell me that inui is more chamor. So maybe the Torah didn't have to write the karet by the inui, the gamar malacha, we learn from malacha. And we'll just flip it over. If malacha, which is like Swiss cheese, it has exceptions, is chiyab karet,
Inui shlohuter mekvalo. There's no exceptions for inui. Lo kol shekain. Lama ne'amar. So why does the Torah say karet by inui? It's unnecessary. Mufne is superfluous. Lahakish l'adumi mina gzeir shava. So it wants us to invite us to learn this gzeir shava between malacha and inui. Ne'amar onish by inui, but ne'amar onish by malacha. It says the onish by both of them. Ma malacha anash v'zir. Just like by the malacha, there's an onish and there's an azhara to it as well. Of inui anash v'zir. So too, by the inui, we can extrapolate that there's not just an onish, there's also an azhara. So the Gemara says, I can ask Tash on that as well. Instead of like flip it over the other. Right. The linchpin of this was that inui was more chamor than malacha, and that's why it was unnecessary to say the kari by the inui. Ikul nifra. But malacha is a different chumra, and in a way I can argue malacha is more chamor because it applies Shabbos in Yantib as well as Yom Kippur. But inui doesn't apply in Shabbos in Yantib. So each one has a chumra and a kula, but the bottom line is we can't conclusively learn one from another, or you say it's, you know, not necessarily for the Torah to write it. So the Gemara says, so again, we're trying to understand the Braisa. So the Braisa has the limit, but we're trying to understand what the Braisa is, what the limit is. So Amar Ravina, Haitana etzem gamar. So Ravina says, the Tana, even though the Tana phrased it as, you know, learning from like the Onesh, the Tana really means that the word etzem or the Pesukim with etzem are superfluous. He's learning Zer Shava etzem. It says, we quoted the Pesukim before, you know, and a person with malacha be'etzem ayam azeh. So he says, Tana etzem gamar. He's learning zeirah shava that way, and mufna, and it is superfluous. We'll see in a minute. He mufna because if not superfluous, then ikla mifrach that I can ask the barakina. I can ask, like we said before, that malacha is a greater is more chamor because it applies to Shabbos and Yantid, and because the mufna part is going to be on the malacha side of the equation. We're going to see, just wait 3 lines, okay? So the Gemara says, lie if the mufta. It is superfluous. We're going to have a pasuk that says about, like, that relate to it. It's mufta. The Gemara says, Chamisha Kroi Kivei B'Malacha. There are 5 psukim that state reference to malacha. Now, 4 psukim say you can't do malacha on Yom Kippur. Either says you do malacha, you get carried, or don't do malacha. And the 5th one is, let me just check 1 second. Yeah, there are 4 psukim that say don't do malacha, and the 5th pasuk says you get karet if you do malacha. Okay, so we'll see in a minute, then I'll summarize and we'll come to you, Michael. Okay, so he says, Chamisha Kroi Ktivei Malacha, Chad Lazhara, one is the Lazhara, don't do malacha. He says, well, Chad Lazhara, do Yamama, right? One is Lazhara, don't do malacha during the day. The chalas are delayed. You want to do malach at night. It's a question why you need 2 different psukim, but then the Gemara has 2 different psukim. The chad la'onish di mama. One is teach me the punishment during the day. That would be the one benichrita. He says the chad la'onish delayed. Another says don't do malach, but it's really teach me the onish at light. The chad la'afnuye. One pasuk is totally superfluous. It was one pasuk that says don't do malach on Yom Kippur is totally superfluous. So he says, Lamigmar inui mi malacha. He says, Vachalachui Lamigmar inui mi malacha. Bein dimama, bein delelia. In other words, one is superfluous so that we should learn out a gzeir shava from that superfluous pasuk to inui. So again, we have a superfluous pasuk that says, don't do malacha on Yom Kippur. And when that pasuk, and it's apparently the one that has etzma yom azeh, he says, so presumably it would be the that we're going to connect to the pasuk that says, you know, that you have to be ma'ane yourself etzma yom hazeh, and we're going to learn out that there's a lav by inui just like there's a lav by the malacha. All right, which one is that saying, Michael? Yeah, well, the day and night is a side issue, but. Yeah, that's something that I saw this mentioned that one of the Akron talks about. I didn't look it up, but that is unusual. Okay, let's take a look at the Gemara.
Are we really on the hunt for a definition of inui? Is that what we're
No. We're not definition. We're just that you transgress a lav when you eat on Yom Kippur. That's what we're looking for. Don't do it. That's what we're looking for. So there's no where the Torah says don't do it. So the Gemara learns Gzeir Shava. It says by Malacha, don't do Malacha. And it says, so there's a gzereshah between malacha and inui. So that's we're going to say, just like malacha has a lav associated with it, so to inui, we can extrapolate there's a lav associated with it. Okay, just give me 5 more lines, couple points. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Okay, we're 3 lines from the bottom on Pe'al from Lanala. Okay, the Bei Rebbe Shmuel Tana, the base Medrash Rebbe Shmuel, they learned the following Bryce, there's a different limud, how we know about lav. Nemar kan inui, then nemar lahalan inui. So here, by the inui, so about Nara Murasa. Nara Murasa is a girl, a young girl. Nara is the definition of halakha between 12 and 12 and a half. And then she's Murasa. She's gone through Arison. And then she's raped by somebody. So it mentions the inui there. He says, Nemar Khan inui, but Nemar Lahalan inui. Malahalan Loanash and King is here. Just like by Nara Murasa, so there's a lav associated with it. So two, Akan Lo Hashem King is here. So two as well. Okay, that's the second one. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar Yali Shabbat Shabbaton Mi Shabbat Bereishit. So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says it says Shabbaton, and it says Shabbat Bereishit means a regular garden variety Shabbos is called Shabbat Bereishit. It also says Shabbaton by a regular Shabbos. Parshas Ki Tisa. So it says Malahalan Lo Hashem King is here, just like by a regular Shabbos. It says if you do malacha and don't do malacha, so it's got a lav there. So too by inui, also we can extrapolate that there's lav connected with it. And the last one, for Papa Amar, turn page on the top line on the album base. For Papa Amar, who gufa Shabbat ikri? Did I read right? For Papa Amar, I'm sorry. Yeah, who gufa Shabbat ikri? That I don't need to learn Gzeir Shava. I could just look internally within Yom Kippur and say that Yom Kippur is called Shabbat Shabbaton. The thief, Tishbetu Shabbat Chem. Tishbetu Shabbat Chem. So from that, I could learn and just say internally within it that just like on Shabbos, the two of them are connected with it. Here too, the two of them are connected with it. Give me 1 second. 1 second. 1 second. Right. Yeah. So that requires cessation, right, from food and drink is covered by the penalty. In other words, just like the Surim and Shabbos, they have an onesh and a lav, so too here as well. I don't need to do Gzeir Shava. Just the fact that the Torah calls Yom Kippur a Shabbat. All right, I apologize to all of you. Let me do 6 more lines and we'll get to a nice big pause and I'll make a big pause for everybody. Okay? So the Gemara says, B'shnei Rav Papa Lo Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. So the last explanation, to Shabbat Hem, it said Rav Papa doesn't learn like Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is one who learns Gzeir Shava with Shabbat Shabbaton, right? Between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So he says, B'shlem Rav Papa lo mark Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, dikrad b'gufa adiv. In other words, if I can have a pasuk itself that's like contained by Yom Kippur, that's much stronger than having Gzeir Shava. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, my time lo mark Rav Papa. Why does Rav Acha Bar Yaakov not learn like Rav Acha Bar Yaakov? So he's from Tishbetu Shabbat Chem. So the Gemara says, "Me by Tani." He needs it for that, which we learn in the following brisa. You need Temenav Shotekam Tishalach Chodesh. The brisa says, "You reflect yourselves on the ninth of the month." Yechul Yachil B'Tanei B'Tisha. I might think I have to fast on the ninth. Tamalom Ba'erev says in the evening. Iba Erev Yechul Mishtesha. That sounds like I fast after nightfall. Tamalom B'Tisha on the ninth. Haketzad. That you have to begin the fasting when it's still day. So the only other thing to tell me, I only know the beginning of the day. You tell me now, and how do I have to add on at the end of the day? Tamalomar, be erev ad erev. And one evening is the same as the other evening, from evening to evening. Yom HaKippurim. And here on the side, Shabbatot minayin, where do you know Shabbos is true as well? Tamalomar Tishbetu. So that's the ones we wanted to do, Tishbetu Shabbat Chem. Ein liela Shabbatot. Yamim Tovim Minayin, Tamalom Shabbat Chem. Haketzad, Kol Mishnemar Shavuot, Mosifin Echol Al Kodesh. All right, let's just pause.
I think you skipped the phrase,
just a little bit.
Yisato and Yitziato.
No, I think I did say that. Okay. I did that. Okay, you can listen to the tape. Okay, anyway, let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So
the basic idea, which this whole Gemara was about, is where do we see the Torah says don't eat on Yom Kippur? Where does it say don't eat on Yom Kippur? So it never says don't eat on Yom Kippur. So it's either that we have a Tzeir Shava from Etzem Yom Hazeh, from Malacha to Inui. And just like by Malacha there's a lav, so too I can extrapolate that by Inui there's also a lav. That's one limud. The other limud we had was the Beit Rishon Tana. It says Inui here, it says Inui by Nara Marasad. Just like by Nara Marasad there's a lav connected with it, so too here by the Inui there's also a lav connected with it. Or then we had Shabbat Shabbaton. It says Shabbat Shabbaton by Yom Kippur, Shabbat Shabbaton by regular Shabbos. Just like a regular Shabbos has a lav connected with it, so too Inui has a lav. And then Rav Papa says just the fact that he says Shabbat Shabbaton by Yom Kippur, you don't need to deserve Shabbat, then I can make that limud. And then we said, well, how come the other one doesn't want to learn from Shabbat Shabbaton? Because he's learning, the mitzvah of Tosefet, the Mosif and the whole Kodesh from there. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything so far?
Is Shatia included in Achila?
What do you, for what halacha?
For the
Inui. Right, we said Inui refers, again, Achila and Shatia are one Inui, so the both, so if I learn the
Inui. Tashmish and all that, and Nilat Sandal.
Right, so that is again. So according to a number of Rishonim, it's all Durabanan. But according to those Rishonim who holds the Raisa, they would this say it's included. In other words, okay. In other words, whatever Inui is, then that's included. All right. Who's speaking?
Me, Ruth. I could use a little help and explain. If you could explain a little bit more about Inui.
Okay, the Torah says on Yom Kippur, "Be'ini tem nafshotecham." You have to afflict yourselves. So Chazal, we learned in the Mishnah, Chazal teaches that means five different things, right? It means achil and shtiyah, eating and drinking counts as one. He said, rechitza sicha, nilat asadal, tashmish mita. Bathing, anointing, and having intimate relations. And just 1 minute. So the we said today's Gemara was all about that if you violate Inui, you're chayv karet for achil and shtiyah. So the question is, where does the Torah say, like, don't eat and drink on Yom Kippur? So the Torah never says that. So the Gemara had differently moved him to extrapolate that it is subject to a lav.
But the word itself means what, Inui?
Afflict yourself. Uh-huh. Afflict. A-F-F-L-I-C-T. L-I-C-T.
Thank you.
All right. All right. So I'm going to move on. Okay.
But where is the definition of Inui?
Well, we were having in this parak. The Mishnah said it was those five items that we mentioned. That's and we're gonna have more limudim on what's included in the Inui, right?
Okay.
You had it already in the Gemara. Right. Okay. All right. Let's see further in the Gemara. All right. Now. Okay. So now we're around 10 lines down on Pay Aleph on Base 81B. Everybody mute themselves. So the Gemara says, "The Tana to Etzem Etzem High Betishla Kodesh My Abid Lai." Now the Gemara assumes that Tana to Etzem means the Tana of the Brice that we learned on Pay Aleph on Aleph. That I'm saying was learning with the Gzeir Shava of Etzem Etzem. The Gemara takes it, if he learned the Gzeir Shava, that I'm only chayav, with lavim once it's the Etzem of the day, but inherent in that is that there is a prohibition of in Tosefet. In other words, he holds that you're not allowed to do eat and say again, repeat. Yeah, I thought I did that, no? Yeah, I did all that. Okay. So the Gemara says, "B'tana de etem etem, hay b'tish l'chodesh ma'yabid lay." So the Tana on Amud Aleph, who learned the Gzeir Shava, we assume that he holds from Mosif Mechol al Kodesh, because since he says etem is the Chiv Karei, but other things would be also prohibited. So what does he do with the limud of Tisha l'chodesh? Above we learned Mosif Mechol al Kodesh. He's, in other words, he's taking it, if the Torah says etzem etzem, You see, I only have a chiv karet if I do it in the middle of the day or the middle of the night. But in Akinami, there's these surim when I do mechol hakodesh. So what does he do with the limud about tishul hakodesh? So we buy lay l'tani chiv barabi difti. So he needs it for that which chiv barabi difti learned. Tani chiv barabi difti. Chiv barabi difti learned the following brisa. What's the following brisa? And there's a famous brisa. You should afflict yourselves on the ninth of the month. Yom Kippur is obviously the tenth of the month. But chi betisha mitanim below be'esher mitanim be'asor mitanim. We fast on the ninth and we fast on the tenth. El lomar lecha kol ochel b'shot ha'b'chim. Teach whoever eats and drinks on the ninth of Tishrei. And it was a mitzvah to eat and drink then. Ma'alev k'tuf yidlu hitanat shi basir. The pasuk considers it as if he fasted. Let's take a look at Rashi on this. Around the 15th line of Rashi. Kol ochel b'shot ha'b'chulei v'hach kimash makra. This is what the pasuk sound means. Prepare yourself on the ninth. And what does the base have here? Today, here, so you'll be able to fast on the 10th. And since the Torah, to express this idea, it says, in other words, this limud is saying, when the Torah says that you should do inui on the ninth, it's not talking about the most of the whole Kodesh, it's saying eat on the ninth, but it's calling eating inui an affliction. So he says, the fact that he calls it blush on inui, lamar lecha, real kilometane betisha, and it'll teach you, which is if you fasted on the ninth. So, all right, let's do a little piece of Torah on this, a couple of pieces of Torah, and then we'll move on.
Not everyone agrees with that.
Well, it's coming up right now. Okay, so, she explains that according to Chiv Arav, the Pasuk interpreted as follows. On the ninth of Tishrei, you should prepare for the Yom Kippur fast, and thus we deduce there is a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. The Rosh explains that Hashem, in his boundless mercy, commanded us to eat on Erev Yom Kippur so that we should have enough strength to fast on Yom Kippur. And he promised to reward us for the fulfillment of his mitzvah as though we actually fasted. So the way the Rosh is learning, it's a type of hachana for the fast. He says, the Beis Yosef explains that the mitzvah to eat derives from the fact that it would be fitting to honor the Yom Kippur with a yontif meal, demonstrate how delighted we are that Hashem has given us the opportunity to repent and obtain atonement. In other words, like, we're so happy we got to this yontif where we're going to have atonement. However, eating on Yom Kippur is not possible because one must fast and repent for his sins. As compensation for the missing Yontif meal on Yom Kippur, Torah commanded us to eat on Erev Yom Kippur instead. Rabbi Akiva Eiger considers whether women are exempt from the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur to the Mitzvah Mangrama, a positive time-related mitzvah. And as a general rule, women are exempt from such mitzvahs. Okay, everybody got the question? So the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, are women obligated in that mitzvah? Lechora, it's Mitzvah Mangrama. So they should be exempt from the mitzvah. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he concludes this mitzvah is different from other time related mitzvahs because the Gemara links eating on the ninth to fasting on the 10th. Since women are obligated to fast on Yom Kippur, they're also obligated to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. If you assume that the eating is related to the fast, then, however it works, the Rashash adds that this logic is especially valid according to Rashi and the Rush, who say the reason behind the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is that one should have strength to fast on Yom Kippur. It is obvious that women are included in the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, to say too must have strength to fast on Yom Kippur. Now, you see, the way the Beis Yosef is learning, it's not necessarily connected. The Beis Yosef said, we're just happy that we got to the, like, Shachianu v'kimanu v'gyanu z'man hazeh. Now, the Minchas Chena considers the minimum amount of food one must eat on Erev Yom Kippur to fulfill this mitzvah. He concludes that even though a kezias is a standard amount for most mitzvahs, example, matzah on the first night of Pesach, it is not sufficient for this mitzvah. Since the Torah expresses the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur in terms of inui, one must enough food to remove the pain of fasting, which is kotev agasa, the fat date. He adds that one need not eat bread when he discharges the mitzvah with any type of food. The Sechemet argues that if the point of the mitzvah is to ease one's fast on Yom Kippur, as Rashi and the Rush say, the logic dictates one must eat bread and other filling foods so that he should have strength to withstand the Yom Kippur fast. Okay, 1 minute, we're not done. Now, he has this, is also in the Daf Digest. Daf Digest says, four different reasons are given for the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Rabbeinu Yonah records three of those reasons. First reason to show the great joy of knowing that the time for atonement has arrived. And that was similar to what the Rush said. Okay. He says, second explanation. What? No, the Beis Yosef says that Yom Kippur should be honored with the Yontif meal. But the Rush said that we're happy that we got to this time. He says, the second explanation is that on other Yom Tovim, there was a meal to celebrate the joy of mitzvahs, right?
since on Yom Kippur we cannot have that meal, we hold it on Erev Yom Kippur. A third rationale is to strengthen our bodies before the fast. And we want to be, he says, right, Hashem knows that fasting is difficult and therefore commanded us to eat the day before Yom Kippur in order to ease the affliction. Last reason recorded in Shiboleh Aleket, he writes that the reason for the mitzvah of Yom Kippur is to make the fast more difficult, the opposite of it. So one holds that you're eating to strengthen yourself. One says if you eat, it's more difficult to fast. So that's why you do it. So there are a number of practical ramifications that emerge from these different reasons. One case would be a person who is ill and will eat on Yom Kippur. So a person knows he's definitely eating on Yom Kippur. Does he have a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? According to the first two reasons that are related to celebrating Yom Tov, then there is no reason to exclude an ill person from the mitzvah to eat. If however the reason to eat is preparation for the fast the next day, the latter two reasons, there would be no reason for him to eat on Erev Yom Kippur because he's not going to fast the next day. The second practical ramification is whether one should make an effort to eat meat on Erev Yom Kippur. If the fast is related to celebrating the Yom Tov, it's logical that one should eat meat. But if the eating is only related to the effect it has on the fast the next day, there's no compelling reason to make an effort to specifically eat meat. And there's more on this. There's a two from Rabbi Akiva Eiger, which somebody mentioned before. Yes, so the Olive Daf mentioned that. But so Rabbi Akiva Eiger was asked about a girl who eating hurt her, but she felt that there was a mitzvah to eat. And so she wanted to like force herself to eat, even like eating like was very difficult for her. And he gave a tshuva. He said that the guy, he wrote up a petrol tshuva. I think it was to eat or not eat. I think that she doesn't have to eat or something like that. Whether should he? I need to go over it again. I need to go over. But I remember he gave it tshuva to the gabbai to read this tshuva and probably all these other important people. She misses to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. I think that eating hurt her. I think. All right, but let me move on.
Quick question. How come you don't make a bracha?
Wait, Michael's going to ask a question, then I'll get you. Okay.
Okay.
Plus, it says that you're fast on the ninth, or eating on the ninth. Okay, that's what the plus it says. So the Tzedukim, Daf get eight on the ninth. So the Chachamim were mocked that you could eat maybe the mitzvah.
You mean Tzedukim fasted on the ninth?
I'm sorry, fasted on the ninth.
Right, so Tzedukim fasted. So slow. So where's the source for that? Where is it said Stukim fasting on the ninth? Where is it?
If I'm not mistaken, it's the brother of the Shiboleh.
Oh. Oh. Okay. Could you hear what Michael said? Michael said that he said the brother of the Shiboleh Lechet. Anyway, he says that the Stukim would fast on Erev Yom Kippur. So the Chamim directed us to eat. Okay. Pesach David, you want to ask a question?
Yes, if it's a mitzvah, why don't we make a bracha?
Yes, that question is...
Or kiddush, or even kiddush.
If it's a mitzvah, why don't we make a bracha?
On the eating?
Yeah, on the eating, yeah. I don't know, I'd have to look into the...
Preparatory, it's not really a mitzvah. It's preparatory for the next day.
Yeah, I don't know.
And why don't we make kiddush?
Look, you know, I mean, the emes is, and why don't we make kiddush? Somebody asked, Fern asked. Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay, let's see further on the Gemara. Now, there is a question, Fern, like, if, let's say a person has to eat on Yom Kippur, so then, he has to recite kiddush, actually. Rabbi Shel Salant, there was an infant with in Vilna, they had a cholera epidemic, and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter wanted people to eat on Yom Kippur, and he got up in shul on Leil Kol Nidre, and he recited Kiddush, and so you do have to make Kiddush, and then I think there's discussion. Let's say you bench, let's say you're eating on Yom Kippur, and you're benching. So in the Yalav Yavo, do you say Yom Kippurim Azeh? Okay, let me see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says the two dots, and now we have to run a little bit, but then we'll finish. So it says Achal Oklin Shemri LaAchila. We said if you ate food that's not ruwi ta'achila, it's not worthy to eat, but you ate it, you're not chayav tare. Amar Rava, kas pilpuli biyom kippuri patur. The person chewed, it means if he ate pepper, like the pepper, I don't know, they said like the pepper berries, the pepper corn, whatever, I mean kippur, he's patur. Kaslan, because nobody eats pepper that way. He says, kaslan vila, if a person ate well, I don't know which pepper, but it's a pepper. Kasan vila, if a person ate ginger, you know, it was like raw ginger, but yom kippuri patur.
Meifei. So eating the pepper and the ginger in your patur if you ate it on Yom Kippur. So Meifei, and this we ask a question from the following Brisa. So this is talking about there's a mitzvah in the Torah not to eat the fruit the first 3 years that the tree is up. It should be closed off to you. It says, when you come to Israel and you plant any fruit-bearing tree, you have to like close off the fruit for the first 3 years. So once it says, why do I need eitz ma'achal? I know that it's obviously a fruit tree. If it talks about pirio, why does Torah say eitz ma'achal? It's talking about even if it's the type of tree or plant where the wood tastes the same as the fruit, which he says, heavy omer is a pilpul, not an esrog, but pilpul in the pepper. He said, apparently the pepper, the thing that grows, tastes the same as the berry. In other words, to teach you that pepper is chayv in orla. In other words, like, I guess the thing, the whole plant is something you would eat, it's chayv in orla. In Eretz Yisrael, is not lacking in anything. Shemar lo tesar koba. The point being, though, that pepper is here depicted as something a person would eat. We just said that it's not really lachila, and your patra eat it on Yom Kippur. And yet here it says it eats ma'akal. So the verse is lokasha habri tipta habi abeshta. The last price is talking about when it's moist, then it is edible. But when the Mishnah we said if it's kas tilpul, and it means if it's dried out, then it's not edible. All right, Amalei Ravina Reimar. Ravina said to Reimar, Amar Rav Nachman, that we said above. The kasang zila patur. If you chew the ginger on Yom Kippur, you're patur. So I'm going to reveal the name of Amar of Nachman. Nachman said, "Hi himalta da ati de hindoi sharya vachina lebori priyadama." This himalta is a concoction of ginger and honey that these non-Jews would prepare. So it comes from ati de hindoi. Hindoi is like Eretz Kush. So usually you say Ethiopia, but it's a Kush near India. So it could be like near India. So he says it's sharia, it's permissible, meaning it's not subject to be shulei akum, and if it's cooked, it's not subject to be shulei akum, why not? Because it's nechal klo shulchai. So right. So something which is eaten raw is not subject to be shulei akum. And he says that any tam that came in from the pots that the goyim used would be a tam pagum. And so it's permissible to eat it, and you make bori pi adam on it. Point being though, that zangvila is eaten raw. So it says, Lokasha, Habri Tipta, Habi Abeshta. Same thing as before. If it's moist, it's eaten raw. If it's dried out, you don't eat it. And that's what we said. So earlier we were talking about the dry, here we're talking about the moist. Okay, on the third white line, Tanur Rabbanan, Achal Alei Kanim Patur. If a person ate the leaves of reeds, so you're Patur, of eating the leaves, Lul Vay Gafanim Chayim, if I eat the leaves or the sprouts from the vine, the shoots from the vine, I'm chayav. What does he say? Grapevines. Okay, grapevines. So Elohim, lul bank upon him. How does your thing say that lul bank upon him? Shoots or vines? Okay, the shoots. Okay. So the shoots, the lul avon shoots. So he says, Geffen is the vine, the lul bank upon him. So he says, Elohim, lul bank upon him. Now, let me hear how Steinsel translates this. I think Artsville says
of grapevines.
Shoots
of grapevines.
Okay. Artsville says, Eluhin these are lul vegafanim, but Elu is sometimes used as a question. What are? I think here it should be. Right. I think here the Steinsel's translation is better than the Artsville, because I think is what are. That here. So this is Eluhin lul vegafanim. What are the lul vegafanim? In other words, we're talking about on Yom Kippur, the ones that sprouted out in the last 10 days from Rosh Hashanah, those are the vines that you're shy for eating. It was when it's soft. Rav Kahana says anything that grew in the last 30 days. The key is it's soft and edible. It's edible, right? So the soft is edible. So Tani Kvatsu Rav Yitzchak made the law. We're going to Bryce and suppose Rav Yitzchak made the law. If you ate the leaves from the reeds, you're patur. The lul vegafanim chayav. If you ate the sprouts from the vines, you're chayav. Anyway, lul vegafanim. What are the lul vegafanim? Anything sprouted out in the last 10 days, then that you'd be chayav on. Okay? Any questions, comments, thoughts? Okay, we're on a roll. We're on a roll. And our Siyum is 1 week from tonight. 1 week from tonight. Mark your calendars. We're having a Siyum Masechet Yoma. I hope you'll be here, Michael. Oh, Michael doesn't know. I hope you'll be here, Yosef. Okay, I hope you'll be here, Fern, in person.
There's also a membership meeting that night at 8:30.
Oh, you know, but we're going to have it before Mincha. We'll have it before Mincha. We'll be good for that. What's the next, Hesber? Okay, anyway, Pesach David, I hope to see you as well. Malka, I hope to see you as well. And Ruth, I hope to see you here in person. You are definitely overdue for an in-person visit, Ruth. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Shatat Seer or Morais Patur. If a person drank Seer, which is the fish brine, or Morais, which is dissolved fish fats, or Patur, because those are used as a dip. They're not used as a drink or food. It's a dip. So he says, Hachom et Spives. More deduces, since the Tana Mishnah mentions Seer and Morais, the implication is that Chometz is Chayev. If you drank vinegar, you'd be Chayev. So Mamit and Mani, who does our Mishnah go like? So the Gemara says Rebbe. He, our Mishnah is like Rebbe. Tatanya, Rebbe Omer, Chometz Meshivat Nefesh. Rebbe says that vinegar like restores a person's soul, and Rashi says Mubakel at Inui, destroys the Inui. So let's see back in the Gemara. Darash Rav Gidol Bar Menashe Mibiri Dinarash, Rav Gidol Bar Menashe from Biri of Narash Darshend Ein Alachik Rebbe. The Lachat doesn't follow Rebbe, meaning that if you drank the Chometz on Yom Kippur, you would not be chayav. That's what he's saying. So he says, Lashana nafki kuliyama. The next year, everybody went out. Mazgu shatu chala. They all diluted the vinegar with water and they drank it on Yom Kippur. Rebbe said, if you drink chometz, you're chayav, because it's meshiv nefesh. It restores your soul. So it's like it destroys the inui. You know, but Rav Gidol says not. So he says, Allah is not like Rebbe. So the next year, everybody went out. On Yom Kippur, took vinegar, mixed it with water, and drank it. He says, "Ma'akum shatu chala." Shama Rav Gidol v'ikid. Rav Gidol heard about that. He was upset. Amar damri and diavad b'chitin yami. I said, "But diavad, if you drank it, you're not chayv kareid." I didn't say go ahead and enjoy yourself with it. Amar damri and apurta. I only said like a little bit. Tuvah miyami. I didn't say a lot. This question: what does it mean? Like, what is a lot? And when he says, this is amar. I said it was non-diluted. Mazud miyami. I didn't say that diluted. It was like, it's like, you know, you give them an inch and they take like a yard. So it's like every rabbi has to be careful what they say. Everybody, you know, goes haywire with these things. You mean during the year they do it?
Yeah.
What are they? Apple cider?
Apple cider vinegar.
Vinegar.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
They say it's magic.
All right. Let me end up the daf today. Any questions, comments, something we did? Wonderful having everybody. What's up, Fern?
You were talking about cutting into the inui. There are things that we do that do cut into the inui. People take a nap. People learn. Sometimes you're distracted.
Here's a two. Inui means not eating and drinking. That's what inui means. So what's the question?
But do you have to feel an inui?
That doesn't mean like I have to. We discuss it. Doesn't mean I have to be. You know, like remember the Gemara said maybe inui means I'm in the sun. So I can't go into the shade. That's not what inui means. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay. Let me end the recording. 1 second.